Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, ladies, let's be real. Who here actually enjoys shaving their legs? Not me, that is for sure. So get this, Nair. Yes, Nair, the OG, has leveled up. They've got these new sensational shower creams and body creams that smell amazing. I just used the coconut oil and vitamin E shower cream, and I seriously forgot I was in my own bathroom. It smelled like a spa. Plus, it's allergen-free, so it's gentle for your skin, and it worked in as little as 3 minutes, so no nicks, no cuts, and the smooth skin lasted days longer than shaving. Nair's new sensational shower and body creams are free of all those nasty chemicals like phthalates and sulfates, so you can feel good about what you're putting on your skin. Have a me-time moment with Nair, the number one hair removal brand. Smell for yourself. Try the reformulated Nair body and shower creams available at retailers nationwide and online.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone. Before we get to our new episode, we have an exciting announcement.
Snixmas is back. So please join us for a live taping of And That's What You Really Missed, live from the iHeartRadio Theater in Los Angeles.
We are raising funds and awareness in loving memory of our friend Naya Rivera to benefit Alexandria House.
Celebrate the holidays with us and keep the Snixmas spirit alive.
Join us in person at the iHeartRadio Theater or watch the live stream.
Special guests, performances, unbelievable, gleeful auction items, and a live podcast.
Here are the details. In-person event, December 6th at 7 p.m. from the iHeartRadio Theater in Los Angeles.
And for those of you that can't join us in person, we are streaming the event on December 8th at 5 p.m. Pacific Time. And don't worry, we'll be watching right along with you and chatting with you live.
We will even have a virtual meet and greet option.
Tickets are available on boxoffice.mandolin.com.
We are placing the direct link to the tickets on our Instagram bio and the notes of this podcast episode. So go check it out, and we'll see you there.
Merry Snixmas!
And That's What You Really Missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed with Jenna
and Kevin. Welcome back for another wonderful and surprising and just delightful conversation we're going to have with someone.
We have the one and only Jennifer Aspen, who plays Kendra Giardi.
She is a comedic genius. And I think also it's important for people to know, like, we were so obsessed with her because we never actually got to be in any scenes with her.
But right, we'd only see them, like, their scenes after when we were watching, like, screenings of the episodes, which they would show us and the crew at lunch. And she would just have these zingers. I mean, true zingers that stuck around forever. She'll talk about that as well. But she is just, I feel like her and Jesselyn just elevated the show. And really, we felt like, it really felt like we were in a comedy with them.
Absolutely.
By, you know, with these scenes.
I mean, also, I think her character was probably the most quoted amongst each other. Her and
Hands
Jane
down.
Had the biggest Hands quotes down. That we would say all the time. She's a delight. So let's get into a conversation with Jennifer Aspen.
Enjoy.
Hi. Oh my. Look at you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. I mean, it's, you know, the fandom that never dies.
It surely doesn't.
Truly.
That's how we're here.
Yeah.
I mean, I hear that you're like, you have a resurgence of fame.
I do, because now I'm mom famous, I think they call it. Mom fame?
Mom fame. That's the new one.
Yeah, mom fame, because now the kids at school, because I have a 10-year-old, she hasn't seen Glee yet, but it's coming.
I mean, she's...
Her friends must have, though. Yeah,
there's an age that's maybe more appropriate than others to start watching the show.
Well, I don't mean to brag, but my daughter is incredibly smart. So she's watched all the seasons of Stranger Things. If we're just...
She's got it.
I'm not a bad mom. That happened, and dress up as them for Halloween. Okay, but I do think it's coming. But yes, her friends have seen it, and so her friends like to take screenshots of me on different shows.
Oh my god!
And send it to her, and she's just constantly embarrassed. Basically, that's what happens. So, yeah, and she sees it, she's going to be real embarrassed.
I mean, how? You are so good.
The funniest.
You've also been in a billion
shows.
She'd be
so proud.
So there's no way to like watch television and then not see you on something.
That's
very true.
You've
been in everything.
Yes, that's true. So it's a lot of texts. It is true. And that's your mom. But she's at this phase. And I understand you have a daughter now, which is super cute. And I love her name, Emma. That's one of my favorite names.
Thank you.
Yes, congratulations.
Thanks.
Kevin, any children?
No, I can barely take care of myself. I won't subject a child to that.
No, I don't want you to. So I won't. You just
I'll leave it to you guys. You're much more responsible
Kevin can be
than me.
A cool uncle.
Yeah.
Cool Uncle Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
Cool Uncle Kevin.
Cool Uncle Kevin.
Yes. So anyway, so she's at the age right now, which you will get there, where you just stand and you're embarrassing to your child. Thing. I come to pick up and then she's not there. So I went into the auditorium where they kind of wait for their pickup. And I'm just standing there trying to not be embarrassing. I'm standing. And she's like, oh, so embarrassing. Wait, I didn't do anything. I said, you shouldn't watch anything I do. You know that I'm actually a comedian? Like,
yeah.
Yeah. She's going to be, that's really funny.
Like, I can't not be myself.
I just imagine just standing there, like, literally stoic. And she's like, you're so embarrassed.
That is all I did.
You breathed, and it was too much.
I breathed. It was too much stuff. So she will see Glee soon, I think.
Which show gets the most screenshots?
I think it's, well, it's kind of the one where I think that I was like coaching Terry on how to give birth to her fake baby.
Oh yeah.
That one got a lot of, that was like, and you poop on your cowboy boots line.
Oh, that's a good one.
Scene, yeah. And then I think with Dr. Wu.
Of course. That was, best scene.
That was a master scene, mostly because of my performance. But
yeah.
Truly.
We agree.
Yeah, but really because the writing was just.
Hmm.
And now Dr. Wu is like a sex symbol on 911.
Right.
That's right.
Yes.
What's fascinating, though, is that like you come in, like you have been on so many shows and you come in, and especially for, let's say, like for Glee, the show was not on the air. You get the job and you come in and then you just slaughter everyone. Like, yes, the writing is good. Not all of us did as good of a job with the writing as you did. Like for us, because we never even got to be in scenes together, we would quote your things like to each other.
Over and over.
Yeah, because we got to watch your scenes as just a fan. Like the walk on down to Dr. Chin. Like we used to say that all
the
time.
We're just out of nowhere.
All the time. Like how do you do that? As an actor, how do you show up and just do that? That is such a skill. Where like how do you don't know the tone of the show? Like we're there all the time and we were still figuring out the tone of the show. You come in and just, I mean, I guess it starts with like how did you get the role? How did it come to you?
Oh my gosh, I have so much to say. First I want you to know that I'm about to cry. You know that. Because I really appreciate everything you said and your compliments. It's very nice. and because it makes me remember that time with you all, and you were all so nice, and you would all come up to me and say my lines to me. You were all wonderful and supportive and all of it. So I just want to thank you for saying that. It's really, really nice. And I am good. And so anyway. Why don't I go back to a question that came a little later, which was, how did you?
Yeah. What is the evolution?
Tell us how you got here.
I think most people don't know this. This is definitely in your vein of what you're doing, but I auditioned for Terry and sang in that audition. I sang, I'm not a singer. You guys know this. That's why I didn't sing. I asked to sing on Glee like all the time. I never got it. I sang Redneck Woman. Do you guys know that song?
Yes.
Redneck Woman. I ain't no high. So I sang that.
Amazing.
And that was my audition. And I really thought that was my fate. And it wasn't my fate. I didn't get that. Jessalyn got it. She did wonderful.
Mm-hmm. You're both wonderful.
No. And so what happened in my devastation of not getting that? Was this like email that just popped up about, I guess you guys were filming maybe the first episode. I think I came in on the second episode. Mm-hmm. Ryan Murphy has written this role for you. Here's a sample. It's like 2 pages. Are you interested?
Must be nice.
I read it and the 2 pages were incredible. They were so funny, and I couldn't type yes fast enough. And at the time I didn't know, like, is it just 2 pages? Is there more? I'm just gonna say yes. I don't even care what this is. Right. And so I had, when you asked like how did I come in and groove in, it was the second episode and we were all finding out what the tone was. Mm-hmm. And I had the total gift of Ryan knowing my work and writing something he knew I could deliver. Awesome. You know what I mean? So that made it so much easier. And I don't know if he directed my first episode or he directed a couple of them. So I also had that. So that's like it works so well. You do. Yes, it is great writing. Yes. You know, but I came in with something made for me. I didn't, you know, so that was like written to what I could do.
You're a writer's dream. It's like, especially when Ryan knows your work, he can just be like, let's throw this at her because I know she'll be able to crush it.
I know she can do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's also, there's like a sense of confidence going in being like, this is written for me. I just have to do what I do and like, be, you know what I mean? And kind of be done with it.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't that confident, but I'm glad it appeared that way.
Sure did.
It absolutely did.
Look at all these young whippersnappers. What is this Cheerios uniform? Oh, cute. I wouldn't say I was that confident. I would say I was still in a state of shock and that it happened. But I knew walking in, I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but I knew this was a hit show. This was
No, we did not know.
We couldn't have told you that.
No.
Yeah. You could really feel, having been someone who's so experienced.
Having been on a couple hit shows yourself.
Just a few.
No, there was a real specialness to it. And I could feel that right away. I felt so lucky to be there and not confident.
Just very insecure.
Your clothes spoke of your costume spoke of your confidence for you. You got some good costumes.
Oh. You did get some
all Ryan. Costumes. That was all Ryan. So I usually have very opinionated on my clothes. I think wardrobe people hate me. I'm just like, I also don't like this fabric and blah, 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 blah. And, and I need it to be cut like this and my jewel tones.
I'm a jewel tone girl too.
Tones, right? It makes all the difference. I feel like I should be wearing some right now because you guys look very warm. I look very cold. Anyway, I gave all of those opinions and then walked into my first fitting for Glee and the clothes were there and none of what I said mattered at all. And it was like this whole person had already been created. I didn't have any input, nor did I need any input or want any input, because it was so, you know, so much more elevated than even what I could imagine. That's kind of what he does, right?
That's Ryan Murphy for you. Yeah.
Ryan and Luke were just costume masters. Do you remember what it was like when you first got to set to actually start shooting, your first day? Because I think Ryan did direct your first episode.
I think he did. Yeah. I think that. I remember that it was really one of the busiest sets I have ever been on, because if you recall, if you guys weren't on camera, you were rehearsing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Number. And so everyone was there all the time. It wasn't like, you know, because most of the scenes I did was with Terry and Will and Kendra and the three children, which I looked up their names, Kyle, Matt, and Josh.
I mean, and they're full grown humans now.
They definitely have IDs and they go to buy them.
Yes, exactly. So
I was more expecting just those people, you know, typically it's the people that are in the scene that you're filming and maybe the scene before or after, but it's usually just not that many. But because you guys had a whole sound stage and you were constantly rehearsing on, everybody was constantly rehearsing on that or in a scene, there was just like dozens of people, the entire cast all the time. And so I think that was so great for your camaraderie, but even for someone like me coming in, because I really felt folded in. I was there and we were all hanging outside. This was before people were super maniacal on their phones, right?
Right. Yeah, it's true.
And so we actually, instead of sitting in our trailers and scrolling, we would actually be out like sitting on our stoop of our trailer and talking to each other and you know, getting something from Crafty. And it was great. So when I first came, I just loved that it was busy. It was just people everywhere and it was busy.
That is true. I do forget about that. I always just say like the real show was like what was happening at base camp, because we were all always outside just hanging out, all in little groups.
Well, except for early season, like season the back nine, people would come to base camp and it would be completely silent because they'd be like, "Where is everybody? Where's the cast?" And we were all sleeping.
Oh, that's true.
Because
it caught up with us.
We were so tired. And the only time we could sleep was like during setups for other scenes. And so base camp would be like silent. And then we'd all come out of our trailers looking like amok. Like, did I miss it? You know, when you wake up in your trailer and you're like, did I miss the scene?
Yeah, like no one would be pounding on your door to get you. But yeah, I could see that at a certain point you're like, I got to take care of me right now. I can't.
I got to dig a nap.
That was also the reason why Jenna and I have different perspectives on that is because I was not an expert napper like you, Jenna. And so I usually was one of the only ones out there just looking for friends. I guess someone want to hang out with
you. You were definitely out there more. You were you were definitely part of what was happening all
in the world.
I like to get all the secrets. I like to know what's going on. I was definitely a collector of information.
Oh, I didn't really view it that way. Although maybe what you were doing secretly. What it really seemed like, honestly, was that you were just interested. Like,
I was.
He's a very social being too.
Yeah, what are you guys doing? What did you eat for lunch? You know, it was very like you were, but to be fair to you is, you know, women, like we got to have a little, this is like, it's real effective.
It does. You know, you can tell.
You can really tell. So it's like, you've got to
protect it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rest so the face.
Rest the face. And I don't know if you guys know this. It sounds like I'm really bragging now, but I also like executive produce movies now, but I do. And
we got to talk about that.
Mm-hmm. You can lead to it later, but the whole point of it is that I have one of my secrets is I put some of my best friends in the movies because then it's so much more fun.
Yeah.
However, that means on Monday mornings, if I don't do something with the schedule and they have to get there at 4 a.m., they're mad at me.
That's a very good point.
They text you.
That's
like,
good to know, Jenna.
Well, excuse
for
me.
Future. Because we keep talking about, like, we want to do what you're doing, exactly what you're doing.
Yeah.
Produce things, put our friends in it, and like, oh, good point. Not like schedule them at 4 a.m.
then they're going to be leaning on you for favors.
Exactly. Exactly.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen Very Sexy Push-Up Bra from the Very Sexy Collection in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
So, okay, so you've gotten the new acclaim from your daughter's school and Snapchats, but what was it like for you in the real world, like, after being on Glee?
Like, when the show started
airing. Did it change for you at all? Because you had already been kind of recognizable and on a lot of shows. So what was that like for you?
Yeah, so I've been super famous for a long time.
Yeah.
No, it was so cool. It was like, yes, there were especially younger people on the street, and now I was cool to like this whole other generation of people enjoying it. And then I think, you know, the stories we were telling and that you guys continue to tell without me. Anyway,
sadly,
if we truly had the power,
sadly.
Capital about that. They really meant something to people. So there was a real emotional connection and gratitude from people on the street, I will say, that would recognize me because, you know, the show was telling stories of people that hadn't been told before. It meant a lot to them. So there was like this sort of deeper thing. And then, so that was really nice to experience. And then, I will say I totally missed the entire Twitter evolution because my understanding was that I was quoted on Twitter like ad nauseum, and it was like this whole thing. Finally, I ran into Chris Colfer somewhere after, you know, it had aired, and he's like, "Why aren't you on Twitter? People are talking about you all the time and your lines and you're this." I'm like, "I'm old. Twitter. I know. What am I doing?" So the reason I ended up getting on Twitter was because of Chris, because he was like, "This is what's happening," and so that was The young Padawan showed me the way.
I mean, yeah, Glee was sort of like at the advent of Twitter. It all sort of happened at the same time because we also were not on it at the very beginning either. I sort of forced everyone to do it. But
you did.
Yeah.
Oh.
But I also love that you came on and were quoted like crazy on Twitter and were so foundational because you were in the like first season, which obviously I think was the biggest and what sticks to people's minds the most. Mm-hmm. That did you still have like years after? Because I feel like you're part of like the OG Glee family.
True.
Yeah. So yeah. Like when people think of Glee, at least like for me, I think of you. I think of everyone that was involved.
Jesselyn, Jaima, and the kids.
That were,
yeah.
And also because you were so memorable and had like the best lines.
Best lines.
Oh my God. For years after, like what was that like in addition to like when it first came out and the show weirdly became a thing?
Yeah.
And then the show keeps somehow coming back over and over and over again. And now your kids, do you have outside of your kids, like do you have people coming up to you that recognize you from the show?
Well, now it's really different because not strangers. Mm-hmm. So I'll say the kids at school, I love it because, you know, makes my daughter popular. you know, so I feel like that's coming around now. You know, nobody saw anybody on the street for a minute there, but
Right.
But so I think that's changing now as people, I feel like there's a whole new wave happening right now. Am I wrong?
Yes, totally. No, totally.
That's, right.
Yeah.
And so I see things on Twitter more and like, we'll be tagged in things and I'm like, oh, I guess it's re-airing again somewhere. So I think what's interesting is that this show captures what's happening right now in culture.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
It's totally so relevant. So I feel like the second leg, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how people respond this time around.
For sure.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, again, Ryan's writing, like I'm going to say that ad nauseum and everybody, and you feel that way too. Mm-hmm. But when I wasn't doing anymore, and I know that they wanted more, but it was really started to focus. I totally understand that on the kids more. Right. And so I was more like third storyline out from you guys. So I do totally understand that, but it was hard because I'm telling you that writing, as you know, is so good. And then you know, you're auditioning for other things and you're looking at other things and you're like,
Yep.
I know.
That's very true. That's a very good point. That's a good point when people don't think about too. I guess people that maybe aren't actors, when you do get something that is so good, like how grateful we are to be able to get to do that because we audition for a lot of crap.
Like, yeah, you gotta cling to the good shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it makes a difference because you, as you know, you're trying to be funny, but the writing itself isn't funny and it's just not the same. You really shine when, as you know, that writing like
really flies off the page.
You are. Yes. It's so easy.
Yes.
Speaking of which, did you love doing sort of all the maniacal things that Kendra got to do? The influencing Terry and all that, just the plotting.
The accomplice to the villain.
Oh God, it was so great. I mean, I was really, do you know that there's like a whole Glee wiki online? Did you know that?
I'm sure there is, yeah.
Well, there's a whole write-up about me, of course. But what's funny is I just went under other information. This goes along with what you're saying. It says interests herself. This is about Kendra, which is a great talent, scheming, bribery.
Yeah. Nailed it.
Very good.
Nailed it, right? And vulnerabilities, her arrogance, her schemes failing. I know we should have gotten a baby out of that, right? That's how it.
Yeah.
Strengths, manipulation, and weaknesses, common sense. People not listening to her schemes. That's a weakness. So answer your question, oh my gosh, I loved every second of it. I just thought it was so hilarious. This, you know, like Kendra, you know, when I played Kendra, it's like just like taking an eraser and just wiping all intelligence out. Like just, I just make my mind blank.
Which is so fun.
Great.
And I'm just like, you know, no, we're going to have this baby and here's how it's going to go. And it's going to work because we're going to get hers and it's going to be fine. And this is what's going to happen. You know, like there's just, it's just like this train of maniacalness. Mm-hmm. And, so I loved it. I find the crazier people are, the funnier it is to me. It just gets me. Mm-hmm. You know, when someone gets really mad at you in traffic.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's so satisfying. Yes.
Oh, God, it makes me laugh so hard. Yes. Like, they're just freaking out. They're just like, and I'm just laughing. It's really
literally funny. Laughing in their faces, and they get even more angry, and you're like, dang. Yeah.
And I'm not doing it to be like, ha, ha. But I'm not doing it meanly.
It's
like,
funny.
Getting my funny bone. So the fact that, you know, Kendra was just like, and we're going to do this, and now we're going to get her baby, and that's how this is going to work, and we're going to get rid of that. I mean, it was just great. It was great. I loved the scheming aspect. It was just so stupid.
Could you relate to that at all? Could you draw on it?
No. You know, I don't draw on my life that much.
You don't need to when you're that talented.
That's what I say.
Wow.
No, I think I just, as my husband puts it, we've been together since 97. So he was around for all the Glee stuff. He was my date, all the things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so gorgeous. And, you know, he lovingly says to me, you're so great at playing stupid idiots. And and I do. It's my favorite. I really enjoy it. But I'm also, I'm so smart, you guys.
Well, like, speaking of smart, like, executive producing, tell us about your production company with our good friend. Share.
Okay, I will share. So, Kristen Chenoweth and I, who we did not meet on Glee. What was her character's name on Glee?
April Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. April Rhodes. I mean,
yeah, we got to work with her a lot on the show. Oh my God.
I know. She was like mama to you guys. And but I never met her actually on set. I was in the makeup chair the first time I ever really noticed her. I was in the makeup chair, and there, you know how they put Polaroids?
Yes.
Makeup, right? So I'm getting my makeup done. I'm looking at this girl, and I don't really know her. I don't know her at all. And I look and I go, she's got an amazing tan. That was it. That hooked me for this person for life. Her tan. So then years later, we started the show called GCB, Good Christian Bitches on ABC.
So good. So good.
Thank you. That was another, that's Bobby Harling, Steel Magnolias wrote that. That was just, you know, another total blessing.
And like world class cast in that. Like you guys.
Yes. Ugh.
The Potts and Miriam Shore. I mean, this was Marisol Nichols. This was like, yeah, that was heaven. Anyway, so we met and fell in love on that. Mm. And instant. It was crazy. We were just like in the rooms texting all night long every night. And when that show was prematurely canceled, certain people were offended and called the advertisers, and they pulled out, and the show was over. It was great. Anyway, we wanted to continue being around each other, to be honest. She is in my adult life, and everyone falls in love with Kristen Chenoweth. She
100%.
It's impossible not to.
Yeah. Right.
So I just was like, we need to continue this love affair. And I just found a way. I created a movie for her, and we did it on a Hallmark channel. We filmed it. It was about adoption. She's adopted. She inspired me to adopt. It was a very important story for both of us. And so we did this movie, and it was so good that when I turned it in, so I created the story and everything. And then I don't write. I'm not a writing showrunner. I'm a creative executive. Mm-hmm. So I'm there every day. And so at the end, I turned in my producer's cut and they made it the Hallmark Hall of Fame, which happens once a year on that channel. And that was out of 100+ movies.
Wow.
That's right.
And it was great. It was really,
wow.
Yeah. And so then we were like, okay, well, we need to continue this. So we are, you know, we have this production company called Sparkle and Shine.
Feels very appropriate for
you. I'm interested to know which one do you think, which is, just out of curiosity. I know, but I just
Kristen's the sparkle, you're the shine.
Kevin?
I would say the same.
Oh my god, it's clearly obvious. That is the truth.
Ding 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 ding.
Yeah. So we, you know, this is a very new thing and she is so smart, Kristen, and has wonderful, like she knows when something's going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
She knows what stories are good. And so we basically sold to 20th, to Disney Plus, to Netflix, to Hallmark. And we have, I'm talking like 2.5 years. So we have, I'm looking at this board right now of like 6 projects that are.
What?
Unreal. That's awesome.
We need to have a sidebar.
Yeah.
I know.
Teach us your ways. Running an empire.
I know.
But it's not. It's really so simple. Mm. It's not like we have some like fancy office and we're like, you know, have people running about. It's not like that. It's just ideas.
Telling stories.
It's just telling stories.
I know. I mean, that's why Kevin and I did the podcast. It's so we can hang around each other and I can bug him more than I already do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And your faces are so very cute and attractive and they should be just out here doing these conversations and making people happy.
Likewise.
So nice. It's all good lighting.
It's true.
Yeah, that's why I'm literally sitting in a window. I need to be blown out as much as possible.
It looks great. It looks so good. I thought I was doing good, but then the sun started going down and it's like, you see this? This is natural light, but it's become.
You got a sun flare. You somehow magically got a sun flare into your Zoom, and I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
That's how I'm looking at it.
Are you in? Where are you? Where do you live?
I am in Florida.
Okay.
I'm in Florida. We were in LA forever, and then, you know, the world shut down, and we have family here, and I was like,
gotta go.
Let's just go. I don't know. I didn't know. For, at the time, I was like, let's just go. It'd be 3 months. It's a small town, right? I was just like, let's get out of like ground zero for a second, you know, and take a break. And what ended up happening is it was just really beautiful and really peaceful. And my daughter can go out on the street and play with kids.
Right.
Yeah.
She can just go. And I had that as a kid and I thought that was so great. So after a while it was like, well, and I have a family member who does need us to be here too. And so we ended up staying and we're happy and I travel anyway, so it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Yeah. You can get movies picked up and you can act from anywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
it's true.
Yeah. I'm terrible. I want to be honest with you guys. I know you think I'm amazing and rightly so, but, but I am terrible at, on camera auditions, just awful. Just terrible.
Really?
Yes, which makes me think it's really my personality that people have been casting.
Well, I'm the same way, so I relate. I enjoy doing it because I have terrible nerves, so I enjoy doing like self-tapes from home. Uh-huh. But I think, I only get things when I convince people in the room that I'm right for it, not necessarily based off of my mediocre acting ability.
Yeah, I think that's what's happened to me too. I'm so glad we're talking about it. It's not just me.
Oh, no, no. It's definitely me. And I have friends who strictly book just off of self-tapes.
I don't think I've booked anything since Glee, to be honest. Everything else has been like, hey,
she gets
we
offers.
Think you can do this. Yeah, yeah, I'm offers. An offer only. So
I'm an offer only. And that's only because
I don't book off of self-tapes.
Escape to summer with Victoria's Secret. Pack your bags with just-arrived swim cover-ups, corset tops, and other sexy silhouettes. When the sun goes down, opt for bold and blingy styles like the made-to-be-seen very sexy push-up bra from the Very Sexy Collection.
in on-trend hues like black shine, green, and citron. For a glam statement, pair them with your favorite jeans and bring the heat. Because life is better in a bikini, rewind to the future with the VS Archives Swim Collection inspired by Victoria's Secret's classic looks from the 90s and early 2000s. For endless out-of-office options, mix and match with Victoria's Secret's wide range of bikini tops and bottoms that offer you every type of coverage from full to cheeky to minimal, now in this season's must-have shades and patterns. Add the finishing touch with the limited edition Bombshell Escape fragrance, a free-spirited take on the iconic Victoria's Secret scent. Dive into a vibrant blend of juicy guava, lush palms, and summer glow peony. Shop now at your closest Victoria's Secret store or online at victoriassecret.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Going back to Glee for a second, did you have trouble not laughing, or was it people not having trouble not laughing at you in while filming scenes? Like, we did that with Jane a lot. We'd have to keep it together.
Oh, she is such a national treasure. Oh, my
truly.
Lord. Right.
Oh, I've never actually acted with her, but I'm glad because I wouldn't. I don't know how you guys did
that. Sort of a nightmare.
It's impossible.
In like a great way.
Yeah. I once did a series with oh my gosh, really, Jennifer, the star of The Office,
Steve Carell.
Yep. So I did a series with him, and he was so funny. The only thing I could do to even make a scene happen was bite the inside of my cheek.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that what you guys did with her?
Mm-hmm.
I did an episode of The Office pre-Glee, and I realized at watching it back that I'm frowning the entire time because that was the only way I could stop myself. I'm like, mm-hmm.
That's Artie.
It's me trying not to laugh the entire time.
You know, one Kristen Chenoweth actually taught us early on when we were shooting, we were trying not to laugh, and she would say, "Dead puppies, dead puppies, dead puppies," and that would make me laugh even more. Kristen,
especially in her voice.
Dead puppies.
Yeah, like, that's not going to do anything that's not going to quell any laughter.
Horrible.
I still use it. I use that for myself sometimes.
Do you? It makes me laugh.
When I have laugh attacks, I'm like, dead puppies. Because usually it freaks everyone else out if I'm with people and like, we shouldn't be laughing. I say dead puppies and they're like, what? I'm like, it worked. You know, you distract them.
I'm going to take that and use it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
To answer your question, definitely laughing within. I think that there was a scene in Glee where, I think it was my first episode, where Ryan had the children, we were at a dinner table, and Ryan had the children just run around while we're just having a normal conversation.
Such a good scene.
It's So good, right? It's the best. And I don't even notice it. Like, if they don't notice. And I can't remember what was said at the table, but it was so hard, especially, honestly, Matthew was having a really hard time getting through that scene. Yes. Because he was just, his character was just experiencing the horror anyway. So he didn't have that much to say to at least like drive through the scene.
Right.
He just had to watch this screaming. They were screaming, going like this. And I was like, here's what we're going to do. Okay. Yeah. We've got this situation. I'm going to be staying here or whatever it was I was saying. And we would get to the end and collapse because it was so funny. And I do laugh at myself like a lot. Like we've already established, ridiculousness really makes me laugh.
Right.
Really ridiculous. And so I just will laugh at myself at the end. Like I can't even believe myself.
Yeah. I get that. I feel fair. That in my core. I do.
Scene also is so anxiety inducing and is so perfect. Just how uncomfortable and insane. Kids. Oh God. Do you have any favorite Kendra lines?
Definitely. The whole line is this. I know the last line. Well, there's two things that really make me laugh. So,
okay.
Dr. Wu scene.
It's the best. I just watched it this morning. It is truly the best.
The best. And it's truly every line, right?
Yes.
Every line. You know, hits. You gave me too much Pitocin and you screwed up my kid's DNA. You know, we're just too good.
So good.
I know some powerful mid-sized law firms. What really makes me laugh is that I think Dr. Wu says something like, you know, I mean, clearly you both aren't pregnant. And I go, I'm offended. I'm offended.
I'm offended.
So ridiculous. There's just like golden moments galore in that scene.
Yep.
This one line, people said it a lot to me. I think it was from Showmance. Birth isn't like it is in the movies. It's bloody, it's messy, and you get poop all over your cowboy boots.
So I remember when that episode was screened to us, and we all died.
Because we had met Kendra for the first time, right? Yeah. We were meeting Kendra.
Oh, my
and
God.
That line. I mean, that line.
The poop all over your cowboy boots. So that one just really just stuck with me. And so those were sort of my highlights, I will say.
You know, people talk about spinoffs and all these things. The one spinoff I would like to see is you and Jessalyn.
Terry and Kendra.
Yeah, Terry and Kendra would just be like, go on tour. Because your guys' brand of delusion was like we're different and complimentary in like the worst way possible. And your chemistry together also was so, your comedic timing with one another was so brilliant. Good. Yeah. We need more of that.
Love her. We've worked together once or twice since then and have always been very happy to see each other.
That's so great.
Yeah. And I agree. The level of delusion is really the enjoyable part of this, right? You know, this just that they're just, and I agree with you. I think that would be a really fun spinoff where I don't know what they've done, but they've really gone on and created like a whole.
Yeah. They probably rob banks now or something.
I think they're more sophisticated and
they're like full con artists. Like they go around the country and like con people, poor people. Like
they were working at FTX for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's funny because I did this character in Scream Queens. So I've done a couple of other Ryan shows and they're all related. These characters are related. And somehow, so in that one, I was like in a trailer park with some baked armadillo. And someone was like, oh my God, it's Kendra Giardi. She now lives in a trailer park. And then the other character I did a couple episodes of 911 on. And I was like, Dr. Wu, how did this happen? And you're on.
That's right. Reunited.
Like a hot fireman. What is going on?
What a career.
What a career, right?
And so versatile.
so versatile and so, you know, he's so talented. And I was like the guest. I was like the guest and he was the master at that point. You know, he's like Pat Fireman now. Anyway, and so lovely. Anyway, but I was with Angela Bassett mostly. But anyway, that character, I know, beyond, right? I'm my character in that is also a complete moron.
So clearly you have a type.
I have a type for Ryan Murphy.
Ryan has a type for you.
Ryan has a type for you, yeah. Really.
So this is what happens in Ryan Murphy's mind. He's like, oh my God, I have this role. It's a fucking idiot. Call Jennifer.
I have just the person.
Yeah, so that one, so that was also sort of Kendra. Now, I was stealing packages off of people's. I was a crime person.
That sounds right.
Sounds right, right?
Klepto.
But I would like the justification behind it. Probably made a lot of sense to her.
Yes,
people need to pick up their packages sooner.
See,
who leaves packages out? What a stupid idea!
Yeah,
idiots.
It's their fault.
And maybe it was delivered incorrectly. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Came to your doorstep. Hey.
I think you need to add this to your board of shows that need to get picked up and
Kendra
pitched.
And Terry.
Yeah.
It's
like Bob and Mar. Barb and Marv.
You're the newest America's Sweethearts.
Yeah.
The one thing I want to say, my one regret from Glee, I never got to sing.
I was going to say, she never got a song.
Yeah.
I never got a song. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah.
We did notice that.
It's not really an organic thing when you really look at your storyline that Kendra would like show up and do a number at the school. It doesn't really make sense. But I want you to know that I lobbied for that with Ryan.
I bet you did.
And what would you have sung? Your audition song?
Yes. Yes. You know, like as they drive off with the baby, she's singing Woman, I Ain't No High Class Broad, you know. Just like sing it, you know.
In cowboy boots with poop on them.
She's self-aware.
Yeah. What's really interesting is that there's like a little bit of like a Southern accent. Her name is Kendra Giardi.
Right. I remember when we watched Showmance and we're looking at the character names and I didn't realize her last name was Giardi. I was like, oh, that gives me pause. How does that work?
I clearly didn't pick up on that. I was like, I'm obviously saying this with a Southern accent.
Maybe you can do it in your spinoff show. You and Jesslyn can do some songs in cowboy boots.
Well, we could, but I really don't. I mean, I think the magic of Glee wasn't really. I mean, I'm being very humble right now, but also truthful in saying that we were I was an exceptional sideshow. But the real meat and potatoes that kept everyone coming back was you guys and how you all worked together as the team and how you made these incredible numbers and how much your heart was in the stories you were telling and how much you loved each other.
Yeah. Oh, thank
that's
you.
So sweet of you to say.
Thank you. Well, we loved you.
Yeah.
And we still love you. Thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us. I think
this
people
has been
really
so nice.
Excited to hear from Kendra herself.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jennifer, thank you.
You're so talented. The goddamn star, Jennifer Aspin.
There you go. I was waiting for more superlatives to go on.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's go further. And you did.
Yeah. I got you.
Thank you. You guys, I can't even express what a pleasure it was to see your faces today. Truly, truly.
You too.
Likewise.
You too.
Gift, and I hope to see you all again, and I'll definitely be paying attention to this podcast now.
Oh good.
Just this episode.
Thank you.
Just this
obviously. Episode.
If you have any direct offers for Jenna or me, we are available.
Well, that's actually really good to know.
We won't be sending in tapes.
Yeah, I'll show up at 4 a.m. I won't get mad.
Yeah, we're hard workers.
At you at least.
No, I mean this is the secret, and I know that you guys have thought about this because you're like, oh, I put my friends in it. But as you know, this is what you're doing right now. You get to do your job with people
with your friends.
That you really like that you picked.
Yeah,
that's right.
You need to come on.
And
I want to
trust.
That you trust, right? And you picked me to come on, and just so the audience knows right now, I did not lobby for myself to be on the show. Okay, they asked me.
That's right. So, we did. We came from the, for the record.
You pick your people and that's who you get to spend time with. And I feel like these days that is what it's all about. So
That is right.
And you can sidebar me anytime. I'm so available.
We'll hold you to that.
Available, but like busy.
Well, you know, yes, all that. I really do, especially both of you. I definitely have a lot of warmness in my heart for you. That is real. And that goes on, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, that was then. No, when I love people, I do love them forever. So you guys are in.
Likewise. Thank
I feel
you.
Honored.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Thank you. It was really good to see you.
Bye.
Bye.
She's
what a delight.
What a joy.
I love her.
She's
go to Florida
brilliant.
And visit her.
Yes. Just make us laugh all the time. My cheeks are hurting.
My face hurts from smiling this entire time.
It's good to see old friends like that. I mean, we didn't get to spend like a ton of time with her on set, but there's just a knowing camaraderie you have with these people that we love so much. So we're just so grateful to have Jennifer on.
And it's really nice, too, that, you know, the more people we talk to, like, because we're not as close with her. We don't talk to her as regularly as we talk to a lot of other people that were on the show, and how we all have come away with the same feeling of that time and how special and close and just magical it all was. And that's really sweet to hear. And especially because we were so busy that hearing her perspective of spending, you know, off screen time with us was really nice as well. Oh, she's brilliant.
What a joy. Well, thank you, Jennifer Aspin, for coming on the show. I know that people were really excited. Fans are excited to hear from her and revisit Kendra again. Truly just brilliant. Well, thanks for joining us, you guys. And join us next week for
another brand new episode of And That's What You Really Missed.
Oh.
Do you like that?
I did. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi there. I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, Stories from the Frontiers of Marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame starting May 7th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.